remind you to next week. We have a friend of mine coming. A few weeks ago, I talked to you out of Ephesians about the fivefold ministry. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Such an important part. And the Bible says, Paul said, he gives those for the perfecting, the building up of the body of Christ. And next week, we will have an evangelist with us, Mike French. And he has been all over the world. He's going to be a blessing. I met him through one of my mentors, Pastor Tommy Barnett. And he's been on a whirlwind. He's been in Russia. He'll tell you about it next week. I think he just got back. I saw on his Facebook page, it was he traveled like 40 or 50 hours to get back into the Florida region, and he's preaching there at some conferences. But it'll be a great blessing. Let me tell you what an evangelist means to me. When I was a young man, I met my a girlfriend that I just really, man, she was hot. I'm telling you, I married her, so relax. She's blonde. She's all that. Man, I'm just thinking about you right now, baby. You're all ribbons and curls. Ooh, what a girl. Eyes that sparkle and shine. You were 16. You're still beautiful and you're mine. Thank you. Thank you so much. Rufus, you didn't lay any corn down with me on that one. Where were you, man? Where was I, anyways? Anyways, I'm telling you about evangelists. Yeah, help me, Jesus. Get my talking about all this love, weights, and sex, and my wife at six. I mean, I got to get going here. Evangelist. So I started dating this girl. And oh my goodness, why did I even say that like I did? Lord, forgive me right now. Anyways, I started dating a girl, and her dad said, if you're going to date that boy, you're going to come to church. And I'm like, okay, she was worth it. I started going to church. You know, the pastor's a nice guy. He's just okay. I go every week and just sit next to her and listen to the pastor, and I get out of there as fast as I could. Man, when he was saying amen, I was beating out the door. Because I didn't want anybody touching me, shaking my hand, hugging me. Ugh, get me out of this place. I did my duty. Sound familiar to any of you right now? So one week, they planned, said an evangelist is coming. I didn't know what an evangelist was at all. And I thought, okay. And I'll remember it like it was yesterday. He came in, and my wife's grandmother, Granny we called her, she'd had a long dress on. High shoes, hair all rolled up in a bun. She'd get up at 3:30 in the morning every day, go into the bathroom, lock the door, put the toilet seat down, lay a towel over, open her Bible up, get on her knees, and pray at 3:30 every single day for her family, for her children, her grandchildren, and for their spouses that they'd never even thought of. She was praying for me before I was even ever around. That's a whole nother story I tell you about sometime. She's telling me, you got to come to church. Oh, this evangelist is coming. You got to come. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, I'll come. Well, this guy, he started preaching like nothing I'd ever heard before. And there was something that happened. I'll tell you what happened. Number one, there were people that were praying for me that changed everything. Before I ever got there, prayers were being said on my behalf. God, touch hearts, reach into the lost. And I got there, and he began to preach, and something happened in my heart that day. And I began, when he gave the altar call, I was weeping, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I looked over at Patty. We weren't married, dating. How many of you know the power of the Spirit of God can mess up a relationship like that? I mean, it messed it up for good. I looked at her and I said, will you come with me? And she said, no, you got to do this alone. Hurt me right there. I got up and I went down that altar and I wept and I got on my knees and I asked Christ to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. And I'm going to tell you something. My life changed drastically that day, immensely. And so ever since that time, I've had this evangelistic edge to me. And when I know an evangelist is coming, I'm excited. And I'm excited for you. And I want to encourage you. Invite somebody to come. Ask somebody to come. Share God's love. And I'm going to talk about it in just a couple minutes. But you be the feet and the mouth and the influence to somebody that maybe never would come to church unless you asked them. Amen? Amen. Just turn to your neighbor and say, he's telling us the truth today. Come on. So that's next Sunday. There's some books on the table on that side. There's some free tapes and DVDs or CDs on that side on the way out. You can help yourself with that. Father, in Jesus' name, be glorified in everything that is said and done here today. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you have your Bible, open it up to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I'm going to read a verse of scripture out to you from Proverbs before we get there. But if you'll open it up to that, God will help you. I want to just continue on this, what I've been on for the last few weeks on destiny robbers and so many things that the enemy will bring along our way, or even the influence of the world will try to throw at us. You know how contorted the world is. We, you know, and I love animals, but the news outlets have given more attention to a lion that was shot by mistake than they have about Planned Parenthood selling baby parts. There's something wrong with our culture when it gives all the attention to that, and it doesn't give hardly any attention to the other. Now, whatever you believe, you say, well, I believe in women's rights. Good for you. So don't I. But I also believe in the unborn that has a voice. And the Bible says in Psalm 139 that while they were being formed in the mother's womb, God said, I was there. And I was having influence on them. So no matter where you are with women's rights, you have to be on the side that the life of an unborn child is that of itself. It's God-given, it's God-created, and it is to be protected. Amen. And when the news puts all the emphasis on, yeah, it was wrong. The guy shouldn't have done it. I don't know. I can't understand somebody spending $50,000 to go shoot an animal. Come on, why don't you give something to the Lord and let's build the kingdom of God. Waste your money on all that. Amen. That's another story. They give all their attention to that and they forget that. There's something wrong with our culture. And we can't get sucked into that, because if we do, the enemy will use it to swipe away and to steal the destiny that God has called and created for our lives. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Look at that. Stumble over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are blessed. Come on today. You got to get your mind on what God has for your life. And my hope has been for the last few weeks to direct you to what God has for your life and the power of his destiny over your life. And sometimes we try so hard in that to produce what we want and hoping that in return, that is going to make us happy. But I love the scripture when it says, if we attend to what he wants for us, then our lives will be blessed. And our culture tries to persuade us to strive for what we want and what it says. If you'll buy this, if you'll have this, if you'll drink and if you'll drive this, then you're going to be happy. But the Bible says that unfortunately, if that's the way we live, that we will lose heart. And it's like an old song that was sung in the late 60s by a woman by the name of Peggy Lee. And I remember a story that a preacher preached about this years ago. And the name of the song is That All There Is? And sometimes when you try and you strive for everything for yourself, you end up at the end of the day, after you experience what you thought was supposed to be amazing, you ask yourself and you declare these words, is that all there is? In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10, Solomon, who was the wealthiest man in the world at the time, this is what he said. He said, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. Now you can think about that just for a minute. If that was you sitting in the driver's seat where you could buy anything that your eyes desired, what would it be? He said, I denied myself nothing. He said, I refused my heart no pleasure. That's quite a statement. And some of you are sitting there thinking, man, I'd like that. I'd like to have whatever I saw. I'd like my heart to experience whatever it felt, whenever it wanted it. He said, my heart took delight in all of my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. In other words, I got what I wanted, and here's the reward of it. In verse 11, though, he goes on to say, yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Look at that. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained. And look at the phrase at the end there. Under the sun. I always used to get kind of tangled up with that. What's he mean by that? He means on this earth. Under the sun. He tried everything. He bought everything. He ran after everything. He had every experience that his heart ever desired. And when he had worked hard to do it, and he spent from morning till night, and he tried to achieve all of this thing, when he got it to the end of it, he said it was like chasing after when nothing that I worked for was worth anything. And then in verse 17, this is what the end result was for Solomon. And it's for you and I too when we put all of our emphasis on things under the sun. He said, I hated life. Isn't that quite a testimony? He said, I hated life because the work that is done, there it is again, under the sun, on this earth, was grievous to me. He could have anything he wanted. His heart, whatever his heart desired, whatever his eyes saw. You see, brand new car. I want that. Have it in my driveway in an hour. Got it. Boom. I want the nicest house. Yeah, got it. Boom. I want this relationship. Got it. Boom. This food, this trip, this thing, under the sun. And when it got there, he had all of that. And he said, what? I hated life. Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? I hated life because the work that is done on this earth became grievous to me. And all that I thought was going to give me the pleasure that I wanted, it ended up like I was just chasing after the wind. And we build up these expectations of what we think something's going to give us, what we can buy, what we can have into an individual. And let me tell you something. If you don't put Christ before the relationships in your life, they will not last. And when we come to live out what we thought was going to be spectacular and we find that it is not, we become disappointed. We become depressed. We become downtrodden. And sometimes we get to the place where we hate life itself. Because I tried it all. And as the song says, is that all there is under the sun? And even, yes, we hate not only life, we hate our own life. And sometimes people go through life, we get everything that we want, and at the end we find it's not what we thought it was. And Solomon, he had the wealth, he could do anything he wanted under the sun. But God says there's some things that happen when we chase after that, and when that becomes a part of our life, we get frustrated. He says in Ecclesiastes 1, life is useless, all useless. You spend your life working. What do you have to show for it? The world just stays the same. And I've heard this for years that, you know, to the man that just works morning to night. And anybody knows me, they know I am a proponent of working hard. If you don't work, the Bible says you shouldn't eat. But then on the other side of it, some people, they work from sun up to sun down trying to achieve something great. And then they end up dying. And that company or whoever they work for does not show up at their funeral weeping like their family does. Because everything that we do under the sun sometimes can just end up and cause you to be frustrated. He says the world stays the same. And then people, when they get frustrated, then they get tired because they end up doing the same thing. He says in Ecclesiastes 1, 5, the sun rises, it goes down, the wind blows round and round and back again. Every river flows into the sea, and then the water returns to where the rivers began, and it starts all over again. Everything leads to weariness, and weariness too great for words. And here I go, I get up, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed, I get up, I go to work, I come home, I go to bed. And it's over and over, and I'm tired, and I'm frustrated, and it leads me to being unfulfilled. What we hoped that would fulfill us, that we strive for, It's not. And he says in Ecclesiastes 1:8, no matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we're not content. History just repeats itself. And around that we go. But there is an answer. And the answer isn't on the things under the sun. The answer is on the things when we focus on the eternal. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And then he says, for our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweigh them all. So here it is. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not under the sun, but what is unseen in the eternal dimension of what he gives us opportunity to. For what is seen is temporal. Look around. Everything here is going to burn. Everything. I don't care what it is. You can buy the brand new car. I had a new car, and I walk out and see a scratch. Oh, sorry, scratch. I could get my hands on them. And the reality of it is, the thing's going to be crushed into a picnic table in no time at all. It's going to burn. Everything under the sun. But what we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporal. And what is unseen, hallelujah, that is eternal. And the secret of solving the issues and the dilemmas and the problems in your life is not getting out of them, but the secret of fulfillment is going into an eternal dimension and seeing what only God wants to show us. And how do we get there? We begin with an attitude of learning to pray. When we pray, it's one of the greatest ways to become heavenly minded. Paul said again in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, he says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts, listen to this, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things or things that are under the sun. Because when you pray, it lifts you into a heavenly dimension, into an eternal realm that you're not consumed with the things that are under the sun. Now you're consumed with an eternal purpose and an eternal plan. I go to work and I go to bed every night. I'm thinking about eternity. I'm thinking about who is going and who is struggling to get there. And it consumes my life. And it will yours too. Once you begin to pray and you submit your heart and your will to the purposes and the plans of God. In Ephesians 2:6, he said that God has raised us with Christ and seated us in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. You want to get out of your trouble? You want to get lifted out of your depression? You want to have a new perspective on life? Get your mind off the things under the sun and start getting your mind on the things that are in heaven with him. Come on today. And when we worship and we pray, and I shared the scripture a few weeks ago when Elisha called for a minstrel to become to play. When we begin to worship, and when we begin to pray, something happens in our minds. Something happens in our lives. And the things, as the old songwriter thing said, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And we begin to see God and his glory high and lifted up. And the problems that we thought that were insurmountable now become stepping stones to go to his place. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around today. Got to learn to pray. And then we got to learn to serve. Listen, this is going to help you out of your mess today. This is going to lift your spirits up. If you'll begin to serve, you don't wait until somebody asks you, could you do this? Well, you know, I got to pray about it. Pray about it. I used to have a friend. He used to carry this little ball of lead around because when he'd ask people, hey, can you do this? Well, I got to wait and see and pray and see if I feel lead. He pulls this thing out of his pocket. Here, I got some lead. Just feel it and now do it. You got to learn to serve. It's one of the greatest ways to become eternally minded because you're doing something with your life that contributes to an eternal cause. Hello. When you participate in any area of serving, you are participating in an area that creates and has connections to an eternal cause. And when we step out of the receiving mode and we come into the life of a servant, we see the plans and the purposes of God. I read this scripture last week, but I love it in this translation, in the New Century Version, Luke 6:38. Given a little, and you will receive. You will be given much. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will spill into your lap. I like how he says it here. He says, the way you give to others is the way God will give to you. My brothers and my sisters, you want to come out of your trouble, out of your hardship? You're feeling depressed. You're feeling blue. You're just complaining. You ever get around somebody that everything is going wrong in their life? They don't serve. Because when you serve and you give a part of your life, the blue goes away. The dark clouds dissipate. And the light of God begins to shine in and over on your life. Don't wait for everything to be perfect before you begin to serve. Serve now and He'll transform your dark days into bright days for His glory. Amen. Come on. And then you got to pray, you got to serve, and then you got to just learn to give. Learn to give. It's one of the greatest ways to keep your eyes on the eternal. Listen, you've heard it said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And I love this. Nicole, Twitter that right now. I just love that. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on. What do you mean? Listen, well, Psalm 112, verse 9. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered, how long? Forever. When you give, your deeds, what you give, doesn't just end here. It goes on forever. They'll have influence and they'll have honor. Did you know when you give, you come into a place of influence and honor into the kingdom of our God? The Bible says to be generous. Isaiah 32:8 says a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity, he stands. I'm telling you what, when you learn to be generous, everywhere you go, generosity will just come to you all around you. You'll be blessed as you're going out and as you're coming in. You'll be blessed when you're lying down, when you're raising, getting up. You'll be blessed when you're sleeping. You'll be blessed when you're awake. You'll be blessed in the city and in the country. You'll be blessed in the highway and in the field. Whatever you lay your hands to, it'll be blessed, because generosity follows generosity. When you give, it comes back to you. Be a giver. Get out of the things under the sun and get your eyes and your focus on the eternal dimension and give to God and watch Him bless your life in a powerful way. It'll transform you from the depression on this earth and launch you into a new dimension with Him. Come on today. And then last, you got to learn to tell others. You got to tell somebody. I wish I was a singer. I'd sing that. Got to tell somebody. Yeah, thank you, Rufus. Help me out here, brother. If you and I really believe, and I know in the 21st century church, in many places, the gospel has been so watered down. That, you know, I saw this little news clip yesterday where this guy is calling himself Jesus. It's crazy. He's somewhere in Florida. I don't know. I'd like to meet him someday. I'd just like to meet him. Call himself Jesus. He said, there is no hell and there is no devil. That is the devil himself. Because if you don't believe that there is a heaven and a hell, you're already deceived. But if you believe there is a heaven and a hell, you will be compelled to tell others a pathway to get away from the hell. Hello, come on. And the Bible says in Matthew 5, you're the salt of the earth. You are. And there's one thing about salt. Whether you like it or not, whether you use it or not, I don't use salt on anything. But if it's in something, oh, I know it's there. Tell my mom, oh, honey, that's salty. She might say, really? Yes. So one thing about salt, you'll know when it's there, whether you like it or not. And you can't wait for the world to like you to tell them, listen, I've got a better way. Let me tell you a pathway to eternal life. You can't wait. Oh, you're one of those? Well, I don't believe in hell. You don't have to believe in it. It's a reality. He says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be salty again? It's no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And then he says, you are the light of the world. You are. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. light, let's see, how's it go? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. You're a light. You're a city set on a hill. It can't be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives all light to everybody who is in the house. You are light. And one thing that light does, it always dispels darkness. Salt is always salty, and light always dispels darkness. And the greatest demonstration in my life that was about light was, I think it was about 4 years ago. I was in Kisumu, Kenya, in Africa. And I was with great Pastor Mike Brown. We'd been all out on that day sharing in crusades and preaching and teaching at pastor schools. Hundreds and hundreds of pastors would walk from ours, and we were there sharing the word of God with him. And that night, he comes, it's 9:30, he says, "Well, tonight we go see the prostitutes." I'm like, wow, what a way to end a day. What is going? No, 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 no. He says, "We go preach the gospel to them." Oh, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. Who wants to go? And I'll remember it for as long as I live. All these guys that were, they wanted to be seen by everybody during the day. When it came up to going into one of the darkest places that I've ever been in my life, they said, "Oh, I'm a little tired tonight. Why don't you go? Just go ahead on without me. Yeah, just go without me." So it was about 6-7 of us that went. In that little community in that city, it's dark. There's no street lights. We pull up to this little bar, this little pub place. And he says, "Get out, wait here, and I'll be right back." And I'm telling you, I saw things outside of that place that day that I'd never seen in my life happening. We were a little nervous. I was a little intimidated. And all of a sudden, all these women start coming out. He's right behind him, smiling. He said, "All right. What I did is I paid these women what they would make in an hour and doing the work that they do. So they would come out and they would hear you share your testimony with them." And I'm thinking, and they're all, I mean, they're catcalling too. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's 25 out there. They're from ages 13 to maybe 35. It'd break your heart. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, what is that? What are we going to say to them? I mean, there's no pulpit. There's no, Rufus isn't behind me. Rufus isn't behind me. And all of a sudden, Pastor Mike said, "All right, now Pastor Marty will share his testimony." I'm like, what? Dark. So dark. I begin to tell how I was broken, how I'd lost a sister and a brother and my mom and dad, how I was an alcoholic, how I was using drugs as a young boy, and how I met this girlfriend and how I met her family, and they began to pray for me, and I went to church, and my life was a mess. I was homeless, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came over me, and I bowed my knee to Jesus, and I gave my heart to Jesus, and when I did that, he changed everything in my life. He lifted me out of the gutter. He took all of the proclivities that I had that would destroy my life away from me, and he led me down a pathway and gave life, and that more abundantly to me. And as I looked across in that dark, dark place, I could see the tears running down their face. I could hear them begin to weep. And one by one, as we begin to ask them if they wanted Christ to come into their heart, they would begin to raise their hand and say, yes, and they cry. And that night, those ladies that were standing there, their lives were transformed, not because of some slick preacher that knew everything, but because God says that you're the light of the world. And when you give your light to Christ, I will impart something in you that the devil can't take away, that the world can't steal from you. And when you begin to open up your mouth, life begins to come out, and hope began to come into those women's lives. And they all gave their life to Christ that night. People begin to come out of the bar. They were mad at us at first, but then when they heard us begin to share the gospel, people that were in the bar begin to give their lives to Christ too. Then we went from there. I thought, well, we're going home. No, now we go to the worst section of town. This is the $10 a night. These poor ladies, they were 45, and it was so sad. And the same thing, they began to come out of that little place one at a time. And as I began to share the good news with them, the light of Christ began to come into their life. What am I saying here today? You can be the light of the world. You don't have to wait for the perfect time. God will equip you and anoint you in a season and in a moment and a time when you didn't even plan to. If you put it in your heart, I'm going to be the light of the world. I'm going to share the good news of Christ. I'm not going to focus on the things under the sun, but I'm going to get my focus on things that are eternal, and I'm going to lift my eyes up unto where cometh my help. God will deliver you out of your depression, out of just being flat out miserable, and give you joy unspeakable, full of glory and grace. Amen. 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 Bow your head with me this morning. I want to pray for you. I want the prayer folk, I want you to come down to the altar today. If you're here today, I don't want anybody leaving right now. Your eyes closed. I just need about 3 more minutes. If you're here today and you never gave your heart to Jesus, this is the day when you can walk out of here a new creature in Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've known the Lord, but you're away from Him. You haven't been serving Him. There's no fire in your life. You need to put some wood on that fire. These folks want to pray over you today and help you to do that. Maybe you're going through a transitional time in your life. You can't understand what's happening. It's not a surprise to God. He wants to help you today. He wants to be your source. He wants to be your help today. Oh, if you'll trust Him, you'll come to Him and let Him know that you love Him and you want Him in your life. He will come to you and He will strengthen you. Hallelujah. Oh, I sense His anointing right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm going to pray and then we're going to close. And if you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to come down. Just say to the person, will you pray for me? I want to receive Christ. They'll give you a Bible, get your information, help you. If you're here today and you're away from Him, you've gone your own way. You've tried everything. You've tried too much under the sun. And you're finding out it's not what fulfills you. And the enemy is using it to steal your destiny. He wants to help you today. Oh, He's got such a plan for you. He has such a plan. I could tell you story on story today. He'll change your life. He'll take you places you never dreamed. He'll help you. He'll lift you up. I never thought that day that I responded to that altar call at that little Christian Missionary Alliance church, Reverend Clarence Schreier. I gave my heart to Christ. I never thought that day that I would be preaching to groups of prostitutes in Kenya, Africa. Never thought I'd be preaching in convention centers all over America, seeing people come to Christ. Never thought. I wonder what He has for you today, that if you'll give your life, if you'll surrender everything to Him. Some of you are living with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and you're wondering why you're not gaining ground. God says, I want it all. I want it all. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm going to dismiss. But if that's you I'm talking to, I want you to come down to the altar. Let these folks pray over you today before you leave. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and I thank You, Lord, for the working of Your Holy Spirit in every single life here. You have intended to do Your people good today. And for that, we give You thanks and praise. You are good, Lord. All things, You do all things well. Now, God, for those who are even right now listening that are struggling. What will somebody say if I go down? Lord, empower them by your Holy Spirit not to worry about what others think, but to let you be in them the light of the world. I bless your people now in a beautiful and a powerful way in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. I love you. I love you a lot. Go in his grace. If you need prayer, you want to give your life to Christ, come on down. This is your day today. God bless you so much.